I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses was lifted up by the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your heart with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you that you have called us together this morning to worship you. And we thank you for the gift of your holy word. And I ask, O Lord, that as your word is proclaimed, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. There's a little story that comes out of our preschool that I want to share with all of you this morning because it's just too sweet not to share. I have chapel with the preschool once or twice a month, and this past week I had chapel with the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds, and I did the story of St. Patrick and the shamrock, and I also used pretzels to talk a little bit about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the three-year-old class was really very interested, and they paid close attention. Now, Miss Nora, who's our preschool director, always reinforces the message of chapel. And so at snack time, she took the pretzels and she asked the children what the three rings represent. And they were quick to respond, God and Jesus. But the third ring they had a little bit of a problem with. And one very special little boy said, "I know what it is, it's the Holy Spit." The Holy Spit. You know, it's darling what children say, and I just thought that you all needed to hear that. Children are on a faith journey just as we're on a faith journey. And our scriptures today are all about journeying. Where are we going in our faith life? Truly, to follow Christ is to be on a journey. We often talk about the season of Lent as a Lenten journey, for we look at how Jesus set his face for Jerusalem and made that journey to the cross. Mary Ruth Kaufman, who was one of the early editors of Alive Now, talks about followers of Jesus this way. The followers of the resurrected Christ were called followers of the way. Being a Christian involves us so totally that we cannot talk about our faith in terms of belief or intellectual concepts only. We see it as a journey. We are on our way to God, with God as companion as well as destination. With God as companion, as well as destination. The Old Testament verses that John read for us this morning is the call of Abram. At this point in our story, we don't know a lot about Abram. We just know that he's 75 years old, he's married to Sarai, and their marriage has produced no children. He lives in the country of Ur. In particular, he lives in the community of Haran. Haran actually means crossroads. Abraham is at a crossroads when God calls him. Abraham can decide whether he wants to stay or he wants to go. He has been faithful, obviously, to hear God's call on his life. But in those days, to be called to leave your family was a finality. There wasn't a way to go back home. There wasn't a way to keep in touch. So God is really calling Abram to a new life, to leave behind the familiar, to leave behind all that he knows, all that's been a part of his life, and go to a place that God has promised. And we know that Abram is faithful on that journey. He believes that the promise maker will be the promise keeper. And so he packs up Sarai, his wife, and his nephew Lot, and they take off from that crossroads, going to a place that they only know as a promise from God. Abram is remembered as one who is faithful. Paul, writing about Abraham's faith in the letter of the Romans, says this: "No distrust made him wavering concerning the promise of God, but he grew stronger in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised." God's call on Abram calls him to newness, calls him to a new life. In fact, calls him to a rebirth, a renewal of who he's going to be. He's going to be the father of the chosen people. In our faith story, Abram is the father of God's children. And so we hear now that he's starting off on a new life. He's embarking into the unknown. He's embracing that risk and that change and that challenge to be faithful to what God has asked him. It's more than a physical journey for Abram. It's also a trek of his heart and his soul to leave everything behind so that he might be faithful to God's call on his life. He moved out in faith, risking what was in hand for what was yet unseen. For at this point, Abraham chose to live in hope, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise yet to be. Abram dared to risk change, not knowing for sure what the future held, but trusting in God's good plans and God's promises, God's promise of blessings. To take that kind of risk, to leave the comfort of the known for the promise of the unknown realities of God, truly is a form of rebirth. To trust that God has a plan for us and to step forward on that journey is trusting in hope for what God would ask of us. Most of us, when we find ourselves at crossroads, want to know with certainty where our journeys are going to take us. And if truth be told, we'd rather not face any changes. But our lives are truly shaped by change. How many of us would have wanted to have stayed an infant or a toddler or a first grader? Our lives are a constant journey of change. And they're shaped by that change. Regardless of our age or our maturity, there is more to our journey, more yet to come. We have not reached our destinations. And the question for each of us always is, do we have the faith of Abram to embrace the risk, to embrace the change, and with faith move forward, trusting that God still has more in store for us, more blessings promised yet to come? Do we have the same trust, hope, and faith as Abram to move forward on our own personal journeys? The story from the Gospels, the story of Nicodemus, is also a story of journeys, not a physical journey, but a spiritual journey. Nicodemus is at a crossroads. He wonders about Jesus. He's seen the signs and the miracles. He's heard the teachings. And he knows that only someone who has been in the presence of God, someone that knows God, would be able to do all those things. Yet Nicodemus is a rational man. He's one who's a leader in the community. He's a teacher of the Israelites. He's a Pharisee. And so he's haunted by these questions. He's not really sure what to make of Jesus. And so under the cover of night, he comes seeking out Jesus, wondering what Jesus might be able to offer him. And in that conversation, we hear very clearly that they are talking on two different levels. Jesus is talking about being born of the Spirit and having a spiritual life. And Nicodemus, is the rational person, is caught in the physical life. He's not able to make that switch to where Jesus is talking about a spiritual transformation. That spiritual journey, being at a crossroads, he's not able yet to move. He's stuck in that spot. At least at this point in the story, we don't know what Nicodemus will do. As we hear the end of the story, we know that Nicodemus does believe in Jesus and he has come to faith. And he'll be one who will support Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin, the council that would condemn Jesus. And he's also one of the two persons who would prepare Jesus' body for burial after the crucifixion. But at this point, we're left with a Nicodemus who is still searching, who still has questions, who still isn't really sure who Jesus is. He's hovering on the margins of this Jesus phenomena, and he's hiding in the shadows, not really sure where his journey might take him, not really sure what his next step might be. Nicodemus is like many today. He's a successful, self-confident man who plays a leadership role in the community. He's spiritually open and curious, but he's also rational and cautious. He's not ready to go public. He wants to keep his faith a secret. He's not ready to declare his faith in Jesus in the light of day, and he's not prepared at this point to let faith change his life. Jesus has recognized that he's at that crossroads, and so he invites him to take the risk to open his life to the Holy Spirit, he reminds him that faith needs to be more than just a fascination with signs and miracles. Faith means a new life, a renewed life, a step towards Christ. Jesus invites Nicodemus to be open to the rush of God's Spirit in such a way that his very being would be renewed. He would be born again to a new life, a spiritual life, a life not just wondering about Christ from a distance, but accepting Christ in his heart. Not a rational event, but a spiritual transformation. Like Abram, the change in Nicodemus would require risk, and we're left wondering if Nicodemus will take that risk. The question and challenge for us is always, will we take that risk? Will we take the risk, or will we linger at the crossroads undecided about Jesus for ourselves? Will we take the risk to let the Holy Spirit enhance our faith and push us away from the shadows into the light of day? Like Nicodemus, will we embrace the good news of rebirth, of new birth? Do we trust in God's presence and God's purposes and God's promises? And do we believe that God will be there as we journey? That's a faith question for all of us. Do we believe that God has a plan for us, that God has a promise for us, that God will bless us, and will God be with us wherever our journey might take us? Psalm 121 is probably my favorite psalm. It truly is an assurance that God is with us at all times. God is a constant presence in our life. And he's not just with us, God is our keeper. Did you notice how many times that word keep was in the psalm? Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascent. It means it's a song that pilgrims sang on their way to Mount Zion, on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the temple. They would see that mountain ahead of them, and perhaps they were a little intimidated by it. But seeing that mountain, they knew that that's where their help came from. Their help came from God. And so they journeyed on. Its psalm reminds us that we need to look for help in appropriate places. We need to look to God, who is always present, always our protector. God's presence encompasses everything. God is there day and night. God is there in our coming and our going. The God that protected Israel is the same God who's with us today. God is with us on our pilgrim journeys. Wherever we are, God is with us. God is that constant source of guidance, assurance, encouragement, and especially hope. God is with us at the crossroads. God is with us as we linger there in our indecision. God is there as we make those first hesitant steps to live a life of faith, when we risk moving forward and enter into a new life. God is there when we take detours or when we take three steps backward. God's there when the way gets weary, and God is especially there when the trek is difficult. Just as God was there with Jesus when he set his face toward Jerusalem, God is with us still today, not only on our Lenten journeys, but on our life journeys. God is there when we risk moving forward at the Spirit's urging, when we risk embracing new life, and when we risk change. God is there wherever our journeys might take us. And may we never forget that our help on each of our journeys comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is with us on our journeys. Amen.